when something big is happening with the Oilers. If it's Connor McDavid getting drafted or them winning the lottery, you never, ever know. And today, it's Taylor Hall getting a new address. He goes to New Jersey. We go down the South Street Burger guest hotline. Gene Principe from Sportsnet in Edmonton joins us. And Gene, clearly this one is a little bit of a shocker. Your initial reaction to the deal?
I was out back in my Northside Edmonton Best cutoff shirt and shorts, working on some stuff in the backyard, and I saw that someone had tweeted that he got traded. So then I quickly texted and got a hold of a couple people, and they told me that it was one for one. So of course you got to get it out on Twitter first, Rob.
Yeah.
So got that out, and then it was 2:30 press conference, and I don't live far from Rexall Place. It was a whirlwind. I mean, I did not see it coming. I think I would have been a little less shocked if it was July 1st. Here's the thing, Rob, a lot of your listeners, mm-hmm. Our viewers get to know players simply by their numbers, their reactions, their facial features, their body language, their interviews. And then we get to see them and meet them and talk to them. Listen, I'm a big fan of Taylor Hall's. He's a partially Calgary raised kid. And to me, he is salt of the earth. Wanted to win more than anything, took the losses as hard, if not harder than anyone. And, you know, you put time into a company and then the company says, sorry, you know, we're making a change, but that is truly the business. And I don't know, Rob, I've been busy doing my own work here and I haven't been able to listen to you just before we got on, but I can say this, Taylor Hall, if you didn't run his sound yet, he is none too happy about this. I think he feels discarded. He feels disappointed. I think he feels like, geez, I've been there that long. I've put in everything I could. And this, now that you have a new building, now that you have a new franchise player, now that all this is going on, you've got new coaches, I get sent away. But the thing is, Edmonton's got more of what Taylor Hall has than what Adam Larson has. So, I don't think they won the deal per se, but they feel like they won for their team to be better.
Gene, what I wonder about with this story is kind of what you alluded to, and I think in the comments from Taylor Hall in his conference call, is he being made the scapegoat here? Go ahead.
I think I don't see it as that. If you think one guy made Edmonton miss the playoffs for 10 years, or in his case, since 2010, he's not it. I mean, I think if you're going to look at areas, not individuals, but you would look at goaltending, you would look at defenders, you would look at not having maybe a complete forward unit that you would want. Taylor, listen, you get to the point, Rob, where the kids you cover are the age of the kids that you have in your own house. And you start to feel like, geez, instead of interviewing this guy, I should be giving him a hug. Because, that's pretty tough. And I know that they're well paid, mm-hmm. but excluding those, whatever, every second Friday, the other 13 days before that paycheck, I don't think they're too worried about what's going in their bank account, and they're wanting to be successful. And especially with Taylor, I mean, he was the start of the rebuild, the new era, first ever, first overall pick. I mean, he was kind of, Eberle was 08, but spent, it wasn't the same.
Yeah.
And even though Jordan is a great player, and then came Nugent Hopkins, and then came Yakupov, but Taylor was kind of the first in more ways than one. So I think he's hurt. And as he said in his conference call, don't think I won't be a motivated player. The two teams play the 7th and 12th of January, the 7th in New Jersey, the 12th in Edmonton. And I think that Taylor will come back and get, quite a few cheers. So if you're Adam Larson, we were just talking about this. Imagine hopping into a room where you've got Jordan Eberle on one side and Ryan Nugent Hopkins. And how about Connor McDavid? Poor guy. He's got no roommates anymore. Luke Gazdick, not qualified. Taylor Hall traded. So it's a lot of change. But you know what? A decade of futility. You have to start to do your own things. And I think this, Rob, if Peter Chiarelli had – I mean, he traded Tyler Seguin, and he drafted Tyler Seguin. So if he was willing to trade the second overall pick, why wouldn't he trade the first overall that he never was a part of? So he's trying to get better. It's a player that what 80-90% of NHL fans would know for a player that maybe 30-40% of NHL fans would know. I'm just kind of throwing out numbers. You know, the one has a profile, one doesn't. But it doesn't mean that he's not going to be what Edmonton needs to move forward.
In conversation with Gene Principe from Sportsnet in Edmonton, joining us down the South Street Burger Guest Hotline. Gene, just take me back, you know, even a couple of weeks ago or a month ago, the expectation in the offseason. I mean, obviously, every year the Oilers have talked about being aggressive and going out and getting things done. Go to the draft. Didn't really get anything done. I mean, you talk about being surprised, but really, are we shocked?
No, you know, and Peter Chiarelli addressed that. I mean, listen, he's got, we think, Milan Lucic on July 1st.
Right.
So there's one winger. He's got Jordan Eberle. That's two wingers. He has got Jesse Puljujärvi. I don't know for sure if the kid will play, but he's going to play soon, right? Mm-hmm. He's got Leon Draisaitl that could play the wing. So, you know, where is he going to put all these players, and how many can he afford to pay $6 million? Maybe Lucic, Eberle, then a Draisaitl would be much cheaper, as would Puljujärvi. And at some point here soon, I mean, Connor McMoney is going to be making that. I mean, yeah. McDavid's going to be what? He's going to make probably $10 million a year or something like that. So he's got to kind of make moves for the kind of short and long term. And listen, everybody knows Edmonton needs defense. Everybody knows that. Larson is one of those kids that for a while was fluttering with maybe being first or second overall in 2011. He eventually went fourth. You know, as Peter Chiarelli said, he's not really kind of like a sexy name or a sexy player. He's not, you know. He's a stay-at-home. He had 18 points last year, led the Devils in plus-minus, and you know, he's just kind of a strong player, but not really someone that you look at and say, I've got to have that guy to make my team. I would say he's a top pairing, Rob, not necessarily a top defenseman, but a top pairing defenseman.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see. They have interest in Jason Demers, who to me, again, I'm not sure that Jason Demers is a top defenseman either, but they still will be, you know, we're already throwing in combinations thinking that maybe Larson and Klefbom would be your number one pairing and that Nurse and Andre Sekera would be number two. So, yeah, the combinations have begun. But I feel this of Taylor, a good young man, a hardworking young man who put up, you know, with a lot of bad days. And as far as I know, never, ever asked to be moved, never asked to be traded, said he was here, wanted to stay here, wanted to help here. So I think when you have that kind of attitude and then someone calls you and says, oh, by the way, we traded you. And I think I'm going to put words in Taylor Hall's mouth. But if it was for PK Subban, there might be a little more kind of understanding.
Yep.
It's PK Subban. Or if, let's say it was Shea Weber. Mm-hmm. It's Shea Weber. But in this case, it's Adam Larson, who isn't Shea Weber, who isn't PK. So I think that's part of the disappointment. Yeah, if you went out and got a kind of hit a home run, for lack of a better term, then I get it. But you're getting a player who maybe a lot of people wouldn't consider to be of Taylor Hall's ilk. I think Chiarelli, Peter, believes that, you know, everyone, like, it's so funny because everyone's like basically saying you lost the deal. And he's like, hang on a sec here. Hang on. Yes, right now it looks, the one has a different pedigree than the other, but I'm building something. And who knows in a year or two whether we're going, boy, this guy is, you know, stability with a capital S and has really helped us out on our PK and has given us a defenseman that can play 27, 28 minutes a night.
Gene, this is more of a factor of age than anything else, but you have seen a lot of exits. I mean, I go back to Tom Pody's exit, Doug Waite's exit, Chris Pronger's exit. How the Oiler fans can get on guys. I mean, they can hold a grudge. Do they hold a grudge on Taylor Hall? Is this a guy that's cheered when he comes back in January?
I would be highly surprised if he's not. I mean, I just couldn't see why, unless they feel like they need to because he's the opposing player. But if I remember Doug Waite, when he came back, and Doug was a fantastic player for the Oilers, they cheered him his first touch of the puck, and then they booed him after that. And Doug was thrown off by that. He didn't like that. He you know, if different guys were, I would react terribly if people booed me, and they do, but I try to shut it out. But if you're a player who's given everything you've got to an organization and then they, you know, those fans boo you, I would be surprised if Taylor Hall's
booed, to be honest with you. I think he gave a lot. Was he the perfect role model? Was he the perfect this or the perfect that? No, but he isn't someone who should be wearing the horns on this, Rob, as you mentioned. He did his best, and his best with the collaboration of others, you know, wasn't enough. So it's time to go a different direction.
Gene Principe from Sportsnet in Edmonton, our guest down the South Street Burger guest hotline. Gene, the other deal, other trade that took place today did involve P.K. Subban, and you mentioned it. I know there was a lot of talk at the draft in Buffalo about whether or not there was some, you know, structure for a deal between Edmonton and the Montreal Canadiens. Do you believe that the Oilers were serious on P.K. Subban?
I would think that Peter Chiarelli and Mark Bergevin had conversations. I don't know how far it would have got. From what I've been told, you know, Peter Chiarelli said he had one, and I might be paraphrasing, but one sort of real offer or one concrete offer for that fourth overall pick. From what I understand, the Oilers did get offered what would be a top pairing and maybe even a top defenseman, but the team wanted Hall and the fourth pick.
Hmm.
And that was just, you know, a little bit too much, maybe one or the other, but not both. Even in this case, Rob, you know, when someone said to me, no, it's one for one, it's like, geez, those never happen. And then we get two, you know, back to back. It always seems like there's a draft pick or a player to be named later or something. But in this case, it's, you know, back to back, one for one, huge deals. I don't know where PK fit. I mean, Adam would be half as much. And I don't know. I keep hearing things about Subban and, you know, dressing rooms and this and that. I don't know. He's a big personality. I think the Oilers could use somebody like him, a personality to sort of grasp the room. You know, will they need it? I don't know. Milan Lucic, to me, is a personality in a different way than P.K. Subban, if he's on his way here. But I'm not sure. I would say, yes, they spoke, but I don't think it ever got to the point where it was serious enough, because we all believe that Mark Bergevin was asking for a lot. I mean, I ask you this, Rob, and I know it's your job to ask and me to answer. What do you think of the P.K. Subban-Shea Weber trade?
Well, I think that Nashville walked away carte blanche, won that deal. Just age alone. I mean, you know, we've been talking about it all afternoon. At the height of their careers, at the pinnacle of their, I think Shea Weber's the better defenseman. But Shea Weber's 31. And I know he had 20 goals last year, and he still might be productive, but P.K. Subban's got a lot of hockey left before him.
Yeah, and I would temper my thought to be a little less than that. I let's put it this way. If you're trading P.K. Subban, either you feel like you have to or you need to or you want to, then I like that return, considering his no-movement clause kicks in a couple of days.
Agreed.
You get Shea Weber, who's been sort of, you know, it's going to be different for Shea because he's as big a star without getting treated like a star in the NHL, being in Nashville, a good city, a nice city, a fun city, a good hockey city, but he could just be Shea Weber. Not the case in Montreal.
Yep.
I like it for Nashville, though. I think Nashville is on the cusp of doing something, and they could use a defenseman like PK, and I think a personality. I like his personality. I think that's part of the $9 million that he makes. I don't know. Maybe if I was around him day after day, 8 months a year, year after year, and I was a teammate or someone along those lines, maybe I wouldn't like him, but I like him and I think he's good. And I wouldn't say this is an even deal, but I think it's a pretty good one for both teams.
Mm-hmm.
Where I think the Hall Larson one looks better for New Jersey. If you're Ray Shiro, you're happy, right? I think you're happy. He has a chemistry with Adam Henrique. They won the Memorial Cup, the MasterCard Memorial Cup together with Windsor. So, you know, there's no Connor McDavid there. And so it's going to be a little bit different for Taylor from that standpoint. But, you know, Jersey is always building a nucleus. Ray Shiro knows how to do that. And I'm curious to see, as he said, I'll be a very motivated player against Edmonton. So watch out if you're the Oilers when you face Taylor Hall and the Devils.
Through your reporting, Gene, that we know that, you know, both Demers and Lucic look like they could be Oilers on the first. We'll see. They visited for sure. What about, you know, the fact of more trades? Do we see a Ryan Nugent-Hopkins or a Jordan Eberle go?
Good question. Peter Chiarelli was kind of asked that. Like, you couldn't make a deal involving a centerman theoretically. So did you make this deal? And he didn't say one was, it wasn't that, you know, and I'm not sure, you know, we can't get all the truth from him.
Sure.
He can't tell us everything, but I didn't get the sense that other stuff necessarily fell through. And so he made this deal. Listen, I think if you're trading Taylor Hall, that's a standalone, that's a big move. And I could see a Lucic signing maybe affecting it, but I don't think that another swap would affect it because he is your leader. He's not Connor McDavid, but to this point, he's been a lesser, you know, version of Connor. And so I think it's one of those deals that, you know, he's been looking for a defenseman since he got here, Peter Chiarelli, and especially the last 4 or 5 months. And, you know, this must have been his best option. And unfortunately, Taylor, you know, it's funny because those three kids, Nugent Hopkins, Eberle, and Taylor, kind of get lumped in together because of their age, because of their salaries, and certainly Eberle because they're both wingers. But Taylor seems to have quite a bit more cachet around the league. And my opinion is that if this was a Nugent Hopkins or Eberle deal for Larson, there would be sort of less reaction or uproar about it.
Mm-hmm.
That would have seemed to be a little more even. But in this case, the belief from Oiler fans is that it isn't as even. Peter Chiarelli said, well, my colleagues think, you know, not, and I'm paraphrasing, not that he said they think it's a good deal, but they understand the deal.
Right.
They understand giving up a high-end offensive player who's, you know, going to be 25 in November for a bit of a younger defenseman who is not nearly as wow, right? Taylor Hall's got a bit of wow factor to him. Adam Larson does not. But the wow factor hasn't gotten Edmonton anywhere with these high-end forwards, so they're trying to build elsewhere, and they need defensemen, and they got a good one today.
Gene, nobody has ever gone broke trying to judge a trade the day it was made.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot of that. And to Chiarelli's point, I mean, he made that over and over again in the press conference. I think he acknowledged the optics of it, but said, give us some time. We'll see how it works out. Yep. Hey, look, it's never dull. And I think we would both be on the same page. This is an organization, the Edmonton Oilers, I speak of now, that desperately needs to get back to the postseason and need to do the things. And sometimes you have to do things you don't like, and maybe you need to lose a trade to make everything else work out. I don't know, but it's not over. I cannot see your summer being over reporting on this team.
No, I don't think that it is, and not to go Jim Benning and get fined for tampering. But, I mean, you look at Dougie Hamilton and look what Brad Treliving did with him and with Brian Elliott. I mean, listen, the Oilers are trying to keep up with every team, but I'll tell you what, you have to like what Brad's been able to do there and build there. And I just see, you know, and now some people believe that Hamilton wasn't on the table because Chiarelli used to be in Boston and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, these defensemen, and I just saw Mark Giordano in Vegas, they're tough to get and they're important. And so, yeah, it may look like, and I give Chiarelli credit because I'm sure he understands that people are going to look at this and think, uh-oh, you know, the Oilers got sandbagged. They gave up Hall and they get Larson. But he understands that for the good of the team, this is a good move. So we'll wait to see if it truly pans out in the next year or two.
Thanks, my friend. As always, appreciate this.
Love it, Rob. Take care, pal.
There you go. Gene Principe from Edmonton and from Sportsnet joining us down the South Street Burger Guest Hotline.